Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, November 1st.
Welcome to November.
A new month and elections coming up exactly in a week from today.
Yes, it is, people. Don't listen to Donald Trump. Day. It's not the 28th. No. Or as Alec Baldwin said, the 35th. It's the 8th, guys. Remember.
The 8th, next Tuesday, in case you're another planet, you can come back in time for the elections.
And you should have a voting plan, what you're getting for breakfast, where you're going, get a plan. You're more likely to vote if you have a voting plan.
Yes. Do you know that I think some countries actually have like a holiday?
Yeah, I know.
On election day,
you don't think
day,
this
right?
is so fucked up that we don't have a holiday?
Yes.
I got to go to work and figure it out.
Yeah,
I mean, that's so
true.
Dumb.
I know. And you don't have much time to really think about
what
you're
doing. We have a holiday
for
Columbus getting lost and raping and burning, pillaging
villages.
I'm sorry. But they're like, voting for your next president? Yeah, you can work. It's so weird. I had jury duty on November 8th.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, no, I got to get out of this.
Yeah, you got to be involved in the election.
Oh, my God. You know me. Ooh, girl.
So what's going on with Hillary? Any improvement in her situation?
No, in fact. A lot of Republican, 100 DOG, DOG, that says dog, DOJ, Department of Justice officials have written a letter saying he crossed the line, Comey, saying that he's now being compared to J. Edgar Hoover, who was, if you guys don't know, an FBI, the head of the FBI, who traced calls and bugged Americans and was like violated tons and tons of ethics and rules. So it's not looking good for Comey. He's supposed to come out and speak today. But even Bush's attorney general came out against him and said, yeah, he broke a lot of laws with and he hasn't responded. So it doesn't look good for him. So now the focus is on him and not her.
Right. Exactly.
So it backfired. Yeah. So
yeah.
I'm glad about that. Trump hasn't really done anything terrible recently, so that's good for
yeah,
you guys.
Right?
Yeah.
That's progress.
It sure is. There is a thing coming out that it's leaking here and there, but we haven't heard it on like CNN yet. But keep your eyes and ears open that his server has been leaked to a Russian controlled thing. But you know, who knows? But they said this is coming out slowly in more the liberal media, but I'm waiting to see it actually get authenticated. But take a look, keep your eyes out and ears out for Trump and his server and Russia. It was him in the conservatory with the rope.
What the hell are these people doing anyway with Russians? And
I know I'm watching The Americans where it's Carrie Russell. And there, she pretends to be a Russian spy. And I'm like, man, we're like back in 1983.
Right?
It's so weird. Bizarre.
I know. And I guess we have Putin to thank for that, right?
Yes,
for
we do.
Returning back to the Soviet Union.
We sure do.
Days.
Putin on the Ritz, baby. Have you seen that? His head on a Ritz cracker. Putin
no.
on the Ritz. That's my favorite meme about Putin. Putin on the Ritz. Putin looks terrifying and so Russian, doesn't he? His face just screams Russian.
And, you know, I mean, the thing is, it may have gone from the Soviet Union to Russia, but they didn't really change anything there, you know? I mean, for a few years, maybe, but the thinking, the Russian thinking is always America is evil to us.
I mean, the Cold War wasn't that far away, you know, that where we were about to nuke each other into oblivion. That was Ronald Reagan. That was not
right?
far from where we are right now. There's lingering feelings, but I think what will get Trump really bad is if there is a clear connection to Putin, because the people that support Trump would not be for supporting Putin. I mean, no. So that's the only way I can see. I don't know. He'd probably spin it in a tweet or something. But, you know, that's the only way I could see this. We need a clear connection tied to him. But Donna Brazile, the CNN.
Was let go.
She was let go because she was sent emails saying the questions early to the Clinton campaign.
Right. And she leaked them, huh?
Yeah. But guess what? Guess how we found that out? WikiLeaks leaked that email.
Wow.
So, man.
Yeah.
Very damaging.
Very damaging, you know? I mean, both sides are really...
Seriously.
They really could use some help. I mean, crying out loud, you know?
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, I think it was Tyra Banks that says enough with the emails. I mean, come on. What do you mean enough, you know?
I think what people... I was thinking about this. First of all, Tyra Banks, it's weird that you brought that.
Yeah.
I love her. No, I agree with you, and that's important. I just think that what Trump has done is more egregious than emails. But I've this is my opinion, not your opinion. People think emails are not on the same level as what he said and done or been accused of. I mean, in December, he's facing child rape accusations in court. So, you know, this email thing seems to pale in comparison to some of the egregious things he's done. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that's Tyra Banks' argument.
Okay.
Also, smiles. Girl.
Everybody's got an opinion.
Yeah. I think people think emails sound a lot less offensive than some of the things he's done. I'm not saying that's right, but yeah, it doesn't equal what they say Trump has done. So.
Okay. Well,
yeah, you sound really convinced.
Yeah, I'm very convinced because the liberals really convince me every time. Yeah. You know?
Well, I've convinced you at least to think you do, about
you
stuff.
Do. Yeah, you I do. Think. You make me think about things, absolutely.
Cogent arguments coming from this Jew.
Yeah, thank there you go. You know, thank so you. We got to have both sides, really.
I love the relationship we have about that. I think it's great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that's good. We're not fighting each other. There's no mudslinging or anything
I'll
going on.
I'll kill you
here.
Later.
Yeah, you know. So it just goes to show you, I think the country can come together without hating, you know?
Yeah, right.
But it's not going to happen.
It's especially with people who are, like, just plain stupid.
Yeah.
Like, people dressed up as the Native Americans protesting the DPL water line.
People dressed up as that?
Yeah, with fake feathers.
Cool. Yeah.
And they're like, water is life. And I'm like, so that's
understand.
Your idea of, like... Yeah. So people are real dumb.
Yeah.
And really offensive.
I know. And you think these are the people that vote, too.
Yeah.
You know?
One guy had a Trump-Pence thing in his front yard, and then his Halloween decoration were two black men being lynched.
Yes, I saw
yes.
that.
Yes. Clever.
That's terrible.
Super clever.
Yeah.
Very appropriate.
Yeah, very...
I mean, that's ridiculous.
I know.
So that's what
I
I'm
know.
Saying. Those people vote. I mean, that's...
Right.
That's
but, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's stupid people voting on the other side.
No,
too,
we're all brilliant.
We're you're all
much
brilliant.
Smarter. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely.
Just
no, I know.
No, but you never see that type of violence on the liberals. That's probably because we're all little pacifist hippies. But you don't see that type of violence from you see it from the Trump-Pence, but you don't see it from you don't see people being lynched on Clinton, like Bernie lynching Hillary.
I don't know. There's been that picture of this man that was beaten up and. Lying on the street. I've seen it a few times.
What?
On Facebook. This man that was, he was beat up by Hillary supporters at a Trump rally. So it went viral pretty much.
Wait, was it a Trump rally and he was a Hillary supporter?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Trump people are more violent, I think, than the Hillary campaign because they're beating up him.
No. The liberals beat up the Trump supporter.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe there's more accounts of Republicans.
Well,
that's
yeah.
a rarity. But we'll see. You know, I think, you know. We'll,
look,
we'll
there's
see.
People on both sides.
You're right.
I believe it. I've seen a lot of hating liberals.
Very true.
And,
very
know,
true.
Yeah.
She says, my Buddhist teacher says, we all think we're so liberal and happy. And then I say, well, what do you think about Republicans? And a lot of anger comes up in these Buddhists. And she's like, yeah, don't be so thinking you're all equal. You know, there's anger on both sides. You're right.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, and I also said, you know, just because an asshole votes for somebody doesn't mean that I can't vote for them. You know, it doesn't.
Oh,
the asshole doesn't represent me, right?
Absolutely.
So that's the thing.
Except for the chick that tried to vote twice for Trump. He's like, it's rigged. She got arrested for voting twice.
Really?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
I think like 2 days ago.
Like
her response,
early vote?
Oh, like 2 days. Yeah, it was an early vote. And her response was like, well, because it's rigged, I wanted to rig it for us. And I was like, that's not an argument.
What an argument
yeah,
that is,
good
right?
try, honey.
Oh, well. So yesterday was Halloween. Did you see anything interesting happening?
I saw a girl with my server. I went out with some friends, and she was wearing an egg carton on her head, and that was it. And I'm like, she was our waitress. And I said, what are you supposed to be? And she said, I'm eggs over easy. And I was like, all right.
Yeah,
very
it's like,
clever.
Who's supposed to figure that
I
don't out?
Know. No, I thought it was very, very clever. A little bit of like pushing the women's movement back a couple years, but still very funny. I thought it was very clever. I like punny Halloween costumes, though.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of original ones,
for
I
sure.
have to admit.
Did you see Heidi Klum? Usually she has the best Halloween costume of all time. She has a huge party. One year she went as Jessica Rabbit with prosthetics.
Wow.
She went as an old man, and you would never know. This year, she just had four models dress as her.
Really?
So she just came out as herself,
costume.
And there was four other women just like her. And I'm like, boo!
She loves herself,
that
obviously.
Didn't, and everyone's like, you didn't win this one. This sucks. Usually she has a whole team, and she had like Instagram videos of like people getting ready with prosthetics, so we're so excited. And it was just the other women getting prosthetics to look like Heidi Klum.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the narcissism in this country is getting out of hand.
God.
Totally out of hand.
Yeah. Crazy.
All right. Well, we're going to bring in our guest now who's sitting here patiently.
Yes.
We have a beautiful nice woman that is joining us.
I'll take
and
nice
we
woman.
Have Katerina Kozias. Welcome to the show.
Hello,
Katerina.
Good morning.
Thank
so
you
good
for joining
here.
Us.
Yes, of course.
And Katerina, you're going to be hosting the show here soon, so we invited you to the show to promote it.
That's right.
And you can tell us all about you and everything. So tell us a little bit about the upcoming
sure.
show first.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm so excited to be joining the team here. I know I had the chance, Sam, to sit with you a little bit in the summer here.
Yeah.
And I love the organization. I love the station. And I just feel that there's so much goodness that we can offer the world through this medium. And so that is part of what I'm here to do.
Awesome.
So I'm going to be starting a new show. It's going to be on Thursday mornings from 11 to 12, so right after your segment here. And the show is called LA 40. Life After 40.
Ooh.
Yes. And the premise is to remind all of us Gen Xers out there that in this youth-obsessed culture, you know, we don't stop at 40, that in fact, it's the ages 0 to 39 where we're learning, learning about ourselves, learning about the world, learning.
That's
but
true.
It's the ages 40 to 80, it's sort of chapter two, where we really transition and we have the ability to impact the world. And so what I'd like to do with the show is really be a pleasant reminder to especially Gen Xers, anyone that was born sort of between late 60s to early 80s, making them 38 to 55-ish, that now is when you transform from that caterpillar that you were to really a butterfly. And you see it with examples like Martha Stewart, right? Wrote her first book at 41, launched her empire.
Wow.
You see it with people like Vera Wang, was 44 when she decided to become a fashion designer and start her own bridal label, and that blew up.
Paulo
Coelho.
That. So you
all
can
of these
start
people
later in life.
Later in life, yeah.
Right.
And actually, Sam, I had a question for you. How old were you when you started the radio station?
Let's see, 8 years ago, almost 9 years ago. So that would be 45.
You see? So you were 45.
No,
with
wait
an
a minute.
Idea.
No, 48.
No, just say it sounds better. 45 is fine.
48 plus 8.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go.
And I'm 56.
Right, yeah. And I mean, look what you've been able to accomplish.
That's true. And I always felt when I was younger that I'm never going to succeed. I'm never going to accomplish anything. Mm-hmm. So it can start at a later life. You're right.
Absolutely.
Everybody's got their journey, you know. Some people don't grow up early. Some, you know, they mature late.
I was a late bloomer.
Really?
Yeah, at 28, I started to become more kind of an adult. But at 30, I just turned 34 in January. I'm turning 35 in January coming up. But that at 34 in January on my birthday, I realized I didn't care as much about other people's feelings. And I was like, oh, I think I might be an adult. I think I might be an adult.
Yeah. Although many adults would argue
right,
with
but
you.
But I think it was what I wanted to. I wanted to get there a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
But it took a while. But I was a late bloomer. Mm-hmm. I think late bloomers have a lot of cool stories.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you get to be a kid longer. What
yeah,
the
true,
hell, you know?
True, very true.
Well, and that's what they say now is like just the way society is moving. People in their 40s and their 50s are actually showing more adolescent type behavior because they're still wanting to go out at night. They're still wanting to go to some parties. They
I
still
hope
wanting
I do.
To
exactly.
do adventurous things. And so really there's so much life ahead of us. It's
and
like,
is that because people are marrying later than having kids later? So everything sort of pushed back 10 years.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. So so this is going to be cool. So you're going to have guests 40 plus and stuff?
Yeah, it's going to be 40 plus. It's sort of going to be more of a inspirational, motivational show. I want to have guests on that have done really impactful things after 40. And of course, I want to engage the audience and just talk to people out there that might have a passion. You know, what if you always wanted to write that book, or you always wanted to move to that city, or you always had something that little voice inside of you was telling you that you wanted to do, and for whatever reason, maybe because you delayed having kids, maybe because you were working on your career, you just sort of passed it by, and yet it's still there, that little voice.
I think everyone
that
knows it has that. They can immediately, whenever, if anyone's listening, they can say, I know exactly what that
right.
feeling is. I know exactly what she's talking about. It's right on the tip of your tongue because you've been thinking about it forever. You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah. So this is going to be cool. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, so but you're not 40 yet, right?
Well, you know, I turned 40. I'm going to be turning 40 in March.
Woo-hoo!
So
she looks fabulous.
I look fabulous.
Fabulous.
Yeah, no
seriously.
Way she looks 40.
No way. I was, like, shocked when you said that. That was
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, but, I mean, I came to a realization last year. I had been feeding myself this line in my 30s. And, Tori, you'll appreciate this because you were sort of the age that I was at 5 years ago. And I had always had this aspiration to consciously be on television. I always, from a little girl, wanted to be a television host. And my career took some twists and turns. I ended up in the media field, but behind the scenes. And the little voice was talking to me. But when I was in my 30s, 33, 34, the little voice would say, you want to be a host, a television host, an interviewer. You want to, you know, add value to the world. But the other little voice would say, well, no, it's too late now. You should have been 15 years
Amen,
into your
sister.
Career.
Amen, sister.
What are you thinking? You're crazy. And so you feed yourself a line that partially is there to maybe suppress the fear that you have about chasing it. And so I just fed myself that line and thought, oh, it's too late now. I wish
and
I
believed
could've,
in
I
it.
Could've.
Right.
And you believe it. And then I turned around and I thought, this was last year. I thought, well, I'm 38. Why am I allowing myself to have regrets? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm only 38. Mm-hmm. So if I take a look at my 80-year-old self and I look back at my 38-year-old self, what am I going to say? I'm going to say I was young and vibrant right. and energetic and I never even tried. Mm-hmm. So then I flipped that paradigm in my own head and I thought, no, now is when it's going to happen.
Wow.
And yeah, and so I consciously made the effort to come to Los Angeles pursuing things are rolling, boom, 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 boom.
Wow.
So I'm just pumped to remind people that if you have a passion, it's never too late to, you know, start.
Wow, and change. That's so interesting because it's what it is I'm studying Buddhism and we're learning about the storyline. And you tell yourself a storyline. I'm 34. It's too late. That's my storyline and I'm sticking to it. And all you did was literally say, I'm 34 and I'm going to make it. And you now can believe that storyline.
Right.
Storylines are made of nothing. Yes. They are just something for you to hold on to. So don't grasp onto that storyline because just like you said, it can change with one word.
Well, and you know, they say like faith and fear. Right on opposite ends of that same spectrum, both rely on you believing in something that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's for projections,
right?
That's right.
So you can choose to be fearful of the next move, or right. you can choose to be faithful that's that the next true. Move is going to work in the way you want it to work.
Right. And it's not, it's a switch. It's not that hard of a switch. And people like concretely believe in their storyline. I said, it's with a feather to a bubble, you could switch it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think what keeps a lot of people back is this fear of failure.
Yeah, and fear of fear.
Fear of fear. And the thing is, it's inevitable when you try something new for the first time.
You're going to suck.
You're going to fail.
You're going to suck
you're
at
gonna
it.
You're going to suck. It's going to be, you know, and it goes back to the Malcolm Gladwell when he says, talks about his 10,000
hours. 10,000
hours. You know? But you have to start with hour one.
And minute one and second one and taking the first step. The that first is the hardest, step. Right?
There
like the first
go.
Time you go get a workout after you've been sitting on your ass for a while, you're going to be wanting to throw up after a while. Exactly. But then the fifth day, you're not. You know, it's exactly right. But people have to take that. The step is the hardest.
The step is the hardest, and that's what holds people back.
Right, you know? The mm-hmm. action part. Mm-hmm.
It's the Indiana yeah. Jones when he has to believe there's a bridge and there's not there and he has to throw sand on it to see
well,
it. It's like that.
You know, there's a really cool story. Paulo Coelho, the famous author, the Brazilian author of The Alchemist.
I was going to say it. The Alchemist.
Right, The Alchemist. So he was 40 years old. He was at a cocktail party in Brazil, and someone asked him, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a writer. And they said, oh, well, what have you written? Now, up till this point, he had never written a book.
Whoa.
His career, he had gone into songwriting, and he had done some things. But he said, in my heart, I knew I was a writer. So he went home that night, and he thought, well, gee, the guy has a point. I've never written anything. Maybe I'll sit down and write a book. So he wrote The Alchemist, which he didn't publish till he was 41. He was 44. And it didn't get really into mainstream media until he was almost 55.
Wow.
Now, Paulo Coelho has been translated in 80 languages.
He's
in 120
books, yeah.
countries. Wow. He's worth $500 million. Because
wow.
he knew inside his heart that he was meant to be a writer.
Wow.
Wow, that's amazing.
Dude.
What a story,
you know,
right?
And I really believe that people that have a passion for what they do will succeed. And that's not necessarily financial success, but just that feeling of happiness, of mm-hmm. self-satisfaction.
Contentment.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think when you have that, you get that energy. People feel that. They
and
want to support
you. And then it starts responding.
And
yes.
then it's like a snowball effect.
And that's what The Secret really was all about, was like, if you manifest and say, I'm a writer, even though you've never written anything, then the universe starts to and you start writing. Exactly. That's the whole idea. You just have to take that first step, which is scary as fuck.
Yeah, no, that's true. And you know what? But you'll never fail if you don't try. You know, so, but the thing is, if you don't try,
you
then,
can never win.
Yeah, I mean, you're dead pretty much. You stopped growing, you know, and you can't expect everything to be a sure thing.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, you look at the years, I look at it between 0 and 39, you're sort of learning, like I said, and you can kind of liken it to a caterpillar. You know, you're a caterpillar. That's you're going true. Along. It's 40 to 80 when really exciting you can get rid of all of that. Yeah, and just fly and soar. Mm. And so now is when we're coming, and I'm categorizing myself and all Gen Xers. And now is when we are moving into that space of just making it happen.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. So you're saying I should stop missing my childhood?
Yes, I think she is. but have your childhood now.
My 30s were terrible, but those are the best years because they prepare you for the second stage that you're describing, you know.
And you said you're 56, Sam?
I'm 56.
Right, and don't you feel like you've got a whole heck of a lot in you still?
I do, yeah, I do. But I sometimes get conscious of my age, you know, because I'm thinking, God, you know, in every book you read, 56 is old, okay? I don't care where you look at it from. So, yeah, so you realize I'm not a kid anymore, you know?
You're not, but that's exactly the point, Sam, is that you have, at a minimum, 30 years of good living left. Knock on wood, you don't get hit by a bus today, okay?
Right. That'd be terrible.
But assuming you don't, right, then you can... Really, 30 years is a long time.
That's a long time, right. There's still a lot of time to do
a
lot of
things.
And instead of the storyline being 56 is old, I think the storyline, if you switch it and say, like, I'm just now in myself, that can be helpful.
You're right. It's a story.
It's a storyline, isn't it? It is.
Yeah, you're right.
And when you tell the story, you build a prison because you're stuck after you tell that story. So, but it's not easy to not believe that. So you've been telling it to yourself for a long time, you know? It has strengthened and it's gotten a whole backstory. And
society perpetuates it.
And L.A. especially, like, I totally agree.
No, absolutely, you know, and I'm with young people all the time and stuff. I feel young, you know, just like a dog. When they look at people, they probably think they look like us, you know, but and when I look at young people, I figure I'm like as young as they are. That's how I feel.
And
you are, and
I mean, Tori can attest to this, right? The energy coming off of Sam is fantastic.
It's like a 20-year-old.
Well, thank you.
You know,
thank
and
you.
It's just like you're so vibrant and you're so alive, and it's like, no, now is when we just have to go.
That's
and now
true.
Is when we can also provide knowledge and some insight to younger people as well. And, you know, we've been fed this line that after 40, we're not allowed to dream.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why have we been fed that line?
That's
and I think
true.
A lot of people, even if they don't believe that, there's a sense, a little bit of giving up at 40, I would assume, because I'm getting closer there and you're thinking, well, that's when you're supposed to be blah, blah, blah. And then there's another storyline. You're not supposed to be anywhere. You're supposed to
be. Well, you know, by 40, though, you're supposed to have gone to school, gotten
good
grades, had your job,
the house,
have the kids, have the white picket fence.
Totally.
You know, and maybe society's even okaying being divorced by 40. You've achieved something.
That's right.
Right? But I haven't been married or divorced. So what does that mean? Right?
Sorry. Good for you.
So,
you still got plenty of time and you're beautiful. I'm sure you'll settle down.
I'll do both. But I'll do both before 50.
But apparently, I mean, you probably haven't put yourself under pressure to get married and have kids.
No.
Right?
Well, you know what? I think, like you said, Sam, everyone has their own path. And I've had really some very, very strong relationships. I've been very happy to have them and blessed to have them. They haven't worked out in the way society says that we're supposed to have.
Right, but marriage is a storyline. That's right.
Right.
You could have had a really good, long relationship that was very fulfilling.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I did.
Right, exactly.
It just didn't result in marriage with the papers, but... And again, that doesn't mean I have a good girlfriend of mine who got married for the first time at 48.
Yeah.
And
really?
She has been happily married for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
They go around the world. They've got the best relationship. And that was just her path.
Wow. You see, so it's never too late, man.
No.
Even for love and romance.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Even if at any moment you can become a grandfather.
That's true. But, like, you know, it's inspiring that, like, you know, I hate Trump, but he's 70 running for president. I fucking hate that guy, but, you know, good for him.
And he is not ready to slow down.
No, he won't slow down. I mean, he's up at 3 a.m. tweeting dumb shit.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy has way too much energy.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see you look up to people and you realize those with the energy of it. I mean, he doesn't act like a 70-year-old.
Right.
I met a man just a couple of weeks ago. I was at a one-day seminar I was attending, and he sat at my table, and I would have thought he was maybe 55. He said to me, I'm turning 69.
Wow.
And he said, I'm starting with this new project. He started going into it. And I just thought, I commended him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And because of that energy that he had, he really had a vibe of somebody 15 years younger.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, so again, age is just a number. And for as cliche as that sounds,
it's true.
You know, but like you said, society perpetuates it. Because Sam, I mean, it's LA, right?
Yeah.
So when
I got here
a year ago, officially, I was coming from Miami. And I just had this thing, oh, don't tell anyone how old I am.
Right.
I better not
lie,
say.
Lie, lie.
I better, like, okay, I'm 31, I'm 28. And then I just thought, no, like, embrace it.
Exactly. You own it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you moved here from Miami?
Yes.
Is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Canada.
Oh, yeah, in Canada.
I grew up in Canada from Calgary.
Really?
Yes. So snow and cold weather, lots of skiing, lots of hockey.
I can see how you ended up in Miami. The exact opposite, right?
So I figured when I was old enough to realize you don't have to live in 9 months of winter, I left. And I actually deviated to Europe for a few years. And then back over to Miami. I was living in, basing out of Greece. And living between Spain and France and Greece and around Europe. It was lots of fun.
Wow.
Well, when was that in your life? In your 20s, 30s?
So 6 months before I turned 30, I had an epiphany. And it was that where the heck did a decade go between 20 and 30? And I remember graduating university at 22 and thinking, oh, my God, I've got 8 years till I'm 30. And then 30 came up and I thought, what have I done with my life? And then 10 years later, at 39, I had that same, what have I done with my life?
I think you always get those, you know, they keep coming up.
Those little milestones. But I left my city. I left my job. I just transitioned my life into something completely different and new. I had a finance background up in Canada, and I was doing corporate finance and oil and gas and computer work.
Totally different.
Totally different. And you've been around me enough to know that I'm not the type of person that it was built to sit behind a computer all day.
No.
I'm a people person. I need to talk. I need to be doing things. So I went to do just that.
Yeah. Very good. You know, I mean, I had so many jobs where I felt constrained, you know, and I don't need to sit here. I can't sit here for 9 hours at a desk, you know. But it was always just a normal thing, you know, until I discovered one day I can actually enjoy work and look forward to going to work in the morning. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's not to take anything away from people that do have a desk job, because some people love that.
I was going
to
say,
right?
I used to work retail, all I think is, oh, my God, all I want is freaking desk job. That's all I want, because
really?
I just wanted to sit down and be on a computer and do and so it's everyone's grass is always greener, but that's in reality all I really wanted was to entertain. So that's but it's like it you have to it's funny because it's like what was the moment that you said I'm switching from this life to this life? Was it a quick decision and you just dropped it all, or was this that's what I question is where does the switch happen?
Well, for me personally, the switch that happened at 30 took me 2 years to give myself mental permission to make
do
that
it.
Switch.
I see.
Because I had worked so hard to build a career.
Yeah, get where you
I were. Was on that path. I was getting the pension plan. I was getting the bonuses. I was getting the promotions. And I thought I would be crazy to leave now.
That's
so it took me 2 years, even though I knew deep down that I was not built for that. I was built for something different.
So 2 years to kind of prepare and mentally prepare and get
mentally
yourself ready.
Mentally give yourself permission.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, so this stuff doesn't happen overnight.
Okay. That's good to know. That's good to know, because I think a lot of listeners would be like, well, I can't. And it's like, not even she did it in a half a second. It took her a long time.
Right. And I had no obligations. I mean, imagine. I had no kids at the time. I had no, you know, five mortgages over my head. And still couldn't do it. So for these people that do have a lot of these, you know, I don't want to call them weights, but they're obligations that, that maybe make them say, well, I can't.
Right. The reasons, the excuses, air quote.
Well, you know, it's there's a law of five. It's interesting. John Maxwell talks about it. And it says, if you want to do something new, you don't have to do it all in one day, but start with five baby steps. So, for example, you have a tree outside your house and you want to knock it down. You go out every day. And five times you strike it with the axe, five times a day. And you do that day after day after day after day. Eventually, that tree is going to fall down.
Right.
We don't know if it's going to take a year, if it's going to take 5 years. But if you go and you do your baby steps day after day after day, eventually you will be able to reach that goal that you want to reach.
Then it has to happen for you.
And I'm not saying quit your job and quit your life.
Right, you know, but you got to
baby steps.
You got to focus on what you want to do, you know, and stay focused and just walk towards that target.
You know? That's funny. Like when we had this like Australian Playboy in here the other day with like four girlfriends, totally different than you, but he said the exact same thing. He said, "If you don't give up, you can't. You will always win. If you never give up, you will have to succeed." Right. And that's how he made his millions. The same exact way as baby step, baby step, baby step, but never leaving.
Right. And I think it's really important to do something that you love to do. Maybe you love to paint.
Right.
Right. And you're a tax accountant. You can still paint on the weekend. Mm-hmm. You can paint on the side And that true. Will get you happier as a human being. And the happier you are, the happier mm-hmm. everyone around you is, the happier a place the world can become. Come on, people.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's when you think about it, you know, when somebody puts so much effort and time into one thing, you can't not be good at it. You know what I'm saying?
10,000 hours.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you just gotta really focus and stay on what you're doing and keep being persistent. You
know? Who was the first in the gym and the last in the gym? Michael Jordan, because he stayed the longest and was there at the first. He worked. He practiced the hardest.
Yeah,
it's like exactly what you just said. You have to be great. And Tiger Woods, he started at 3.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I mean, he's having some trouble now, but we'll move on. But the whole idea of 10,000 hours—you can't not be good if you give it that much time and effort.
That's true. Yeah. Exactly.
And again, if you're giving your time and effort to something that doesn't seem like work.
Yeah, then it's fun. You love it, yeah.
Then you don't mind doing it.
Exactly. So people have to understand, but the hardest thing, I think, is leaving that security of that 9 to 5,
and that's
right?
why I wanted to know how she made that. That one step is the hardest. It's like the fear of change is the hardest for everyone, right. And especially Americans. They're really set on having ground underneath your feet, and for that one step, you don't have any ground, and I think that's the hardest movement in this whole thing.
Right. And since you mentioned change and being afraid of that, I highly recommend Who Moved My Cheese.
I read that. Who Moved My Cheese?
But it's a cute story, and it tells you a lot about how, you know, like animals and stuff, they know what they have to do to find their food. But we start thinking and rationalizing and, you know, as people and stuff, and we keep ourselves from reaching what we want to reach, you know. So the thing is that you've got to expect change and embrace it because it's inevitable. So what are you going to do? Fight with it? You
right.
know?
And Pema says it's so annoying, but she said this, if you think that life will always go your way, that is the reason you will suffer. Hmm. The suffering comes from thinking life will always go from A to B to C to D, and instead life will always go from A to Z to Z to zero to A to
exactly,
B to a baseball bat. And she's like, the more you want it to go, the more you that's what suffering is.
Yeah,
it's
you
amazing.
Know, and the more you think you're above life and mm-hmm. the laws of nature and stuff, life will slap you in the face.
Oh, you will suffer, baby.
You'll hit bottom until you realize things don't go your way.
Well, right. and I think too, it's a cute little story, Jim Carrey's story. So his dad had always wanted to be an actor, but he was fearful of what that would mean, the risk of being an actor on his family. So he ended up becoming an accountant, which was, to your point, Tori, security. I can provide for my family. And so as Jim Carrey was growing up, his dad was in accounting. And suddenly his dad gets laid off. And so Jim Carrey, I think he was about 12 or 14 at the time, and he said, I just had this understanding that you can fail at something. You're worried that you can fail at something you love, but you can also fail at something you don't love. Mm-hmm. So why not take the chance mm-hmm. on something you love?
Right.
And he decided that he was going to pursue acting. And, I mean, now he's Jim Carrey, right? Mm-hmm. $240 million later.
Yeah. Wow. That's true. I think the first step, really, Tori, is to tell yourself, you know, if I rely on this secure job, I'm not going to get to where I want to be if I want to do it. But it's easy to say because you got to pay your bills and everything.
Exactly.
So that's what Katarina was saying. Keep your job. Start something else.
5 baby steps, that you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, take a
you
small
know,
step.
And what I did was, I'm sorry, but I was doing something totally different when I started the station. Then the idea came up. And I thought, okay, so I'll do this on the side. But 2 days later, I'm like, no, I have to do this, you know. But I already had 1 foot in. Mm-hmm. So it's I put myself in a situation where I had to perform.
Yeah.
I had to succeed.
Right.
Now, how long had this idea of the radio station been playing in your mind, though, Sam, before you made that, like, again, to Tori's point, before you actually made that jump?
From I first found out about it until I started it, mm-hmm. when I found out about being able to do radio on the internet.
Yeah, how long was that?
30 days.
Oh, wow.
Wow. See, some people are quick.
That's I have no patience.
No, I'm like you. I'm a Capricorn, and I'm like, I will go from here to there. Exactly. But sometimes, and I'm learning that jumping a bit quickly, too quickly, and expecting the success to happen so quickly has caused me a lot of suffering. Mm. So I'm always like, when is the phone going to call? When is the phone going to ring? And it's an agent telling me I'm famous. And it's like, that has caused more suffering than actually doing the work.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting point. It's like wanting it faster. And I think millennials, maybe you're right, this mm-hmm. generation is sort of, again, the instant gratification. It's out of control.
Yeah.
So if you don't get your success right after you go to college and you don't, it's almost like you failed. So that story storyline has to sort of be switched a bit too.
Oh, absolutely. And I always think about that, especially with the millennials. You know, they basically have everything at their fingertips.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we used to have to call a taxi, wait 25 minutes, wait on hold for 5 minutes. Now these guys call up Uber. Uber's outside in 1.5 minutes.
They don't even have to talk to anyone. Remember, you have to call to a dispatcher and shit.
Yeah,
And so, but my question is, how is that impatience going to affect society 20 years from now?
That's right.
Even in their relationships, right? You don't have the patience. How are you going to have the patience with somebody else?
How about
build a life together?
How about yourself too? The patience for yourself. Mm-hmm. I wonder my cousins when they say, I want a root beer float. I always use this, and then within 10 minutes we had it delivered, and I think, man, what does that do later? In there, and maybe it's that technology keeps up with them and they can always have stuff at their fingertips. Yeah. But man, what does that do for patience? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does that do? It can't build and strengthen it. I mean, I don't know. It scares me.
It's just that our life is so fast now.
Yeah.
You know, everything we do is fast.
Yeah.
You know, and there've been books written about it, how we live so fast that we don't really have time for patience. We don't have time for anything. We want everything to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I think, why we're like that, especially in this culture, in this society.
Yeah, it's a lot on Pema says, it's a lot of the Western culture, which she's part of in New York. She said she had to explain to the Dalai Lama that the West is very different and that they want it now and they will want their ground and they'll feel guilty if they don't get it. And the East is a lot more relaxed in that culture.
Right.
So
it's more flowing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with people that are a little bit older in life. We have this premise that we have to accumulate things.
Yeah.
But we don't realize that we actually have to work on growing ourselves, growing spiritually, growing emotionally, growing ultimately financially. So it's instead of trying to acquire things, it's what are you doing on a daily basis to help yourself to grow in some capacity?
Mm.
And I think if you continue to grow, that staves off things like depression,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool.
Because depression peaks at the age of 44.
Mm.
Really?
Partially because I think people have given up on their dreams.
Sure. People are thinking, well, it's too late now. That's that storyline. It's 44, it's too late, right?
What happened?
Right.
And
that's
they think
true.
That, well, because it didn't happen, it can't.
That's right.
Yeah, and then you give up and you have to spend another 50 years just floating.
Right.
You know, I just was born and thought I was super special,
right.
Which is really embarrassing.
So
but
was I.
Right. And I think that's, but you notice now we're on it, like we're doing the things we love. There's a sense of if you do think you're special, you kind of fight it. You keep going.
Yeah.
So it's self-aggrandizing to say, but I always was like, oh, well, I'm different. I'll make it.
And that's the way
you do it.
Clearly Donald Trump thinks he's different,
I know.
Right?
I know. It's very true. I've never been compared to the Trump.
We're joined by Katarina Kozaias, and she's going to have a show on Thursdays, LA 40. So you guys will have to check it out. It starts this Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And so you came from Miami. What were you doing in Miami?
Yes, and so after I left my corporate finance job, I moved to Europe, and I started to work in the yachting industry.
Ugh, I want a yacht so bad.
Yes, right. It was amazing. And I was working as a media and marketing director for an international yacht builder.
Ugh.
And I got to travel around the world and do Monaco and Spain
Stop.
And St. Bart's and Hong Kong. And so for anyone out there that's worried about if I make this change, change always leads to something new mm-hmm. and something usually better. So don't be scared of change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is another message that I want to help people remember.
Mm-hmm. Change it can be scary, but it always leads to something new.
Right.
Right. Exactly. And sometimes I look back and I say, well, you know, it's not that bad. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know. I forget what I was
saying. Listen, the worst, what's you have to ask yourself at the end of the day, what is the worst that can happen?
Right.
And for most people, the worst that can happen is that they will find themselves at that same level that they left.
Mm.
Most people, though, will make that jump and continue moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Bill Burr is a comedian, and he says, you know what's not sad is a 30-year-old living on a friend's futon. What's sad is if you're a 30-year-old in an accounting job and you aren't taking the balls to do that as a stand-up. He's like, I don't think it's sad to be sleeping on a couch. What's sad is being the guy from 9 to 5 wishing you were the guy doing that. So it's funny.
That's
his
true.
Idea of success can be, again, switched on your head by one thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, so you lived a luxurious life,
so
would
I lived,
you say?
I mean, a luxurious life.
Yeah, because everywhere you went is luxury.
Yes.
Monaco. And
it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And you were
so
on the yachts? I just want to get a picture.
I was on
okay,
the yachts.
Got it.
I was flying around private jets. It was fabulous. And so I have some people that look at me now.
And why
and
you,
I left
you
all that.
Yeah,
and they're saying, why did you leave all that so that you can go to Los Angeles and rent a little home and you've left what you left? And I said, well, because my passion is this.
Yeah, it wasn't my joy.
No. And for as lovely as it was, have I voluntarily blown up my own life? Yes, absolutely. But I'm doing it because I know that there is so much coming down the pipe in terms of the value that I can provide and the enjoyment of life that I can have as an individual.
Wow.
And it's just having that, getting yourself to a point where you have the confidence in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you have to have that. And that's why I'm saying, I mean, what you're doing is very brave. You know?
Yes, my God.
To give up a successful career for uncertainty.
Are you kidding me? And the getting comfortable with uncertainty, which is not easy.
It's not easy.
But
no.
I think confidence, instead of it always having to be like a thing, it can also be a lot of like self-compassion. Mm-hmm. Because what she did was she looked and said, I'm not going to hurt myself anymore of doing something that isn't my joy. That takes a lot of self-compassion, which a lot of people have no idea what that is or ever felt it. Sort of a friendliness with oneself. That's very new concept for people. So get used to it.
Yeah.
People are usually very easily hard on themselves. So being self-compassionate enough to switch careers is huge.
Yeah. And you obviously put off having a family, right? I mean, was that a conscious thing when you had your career?
You know, it's interesting, Sam. I don't think that it was a conscious thing, but I think there is an element somewhere inside me. I feel this drive, like Tori said, there's something that's driving me towards maybe a mission, a purpose, and it perhaps that's why I haven't had a family, because there is a part of me that knows that I'm here for a different reason.
Totally.
And when that falls in line, perhaps the family will come.
Right.
But again, it's society is the one telling us that we need
you needed a family.
A family,
exactly.
Right? Jennifer
exactly.
Aniston had an article that came out in the Huffington Post about 2 months ago, where she was blasting mainstream media because at the age of 47, all they write about her is she pregnant? Is she having a baby? Is she pregnant? Mm-hmm. Is she having a baby? And she said, listen, there is nothing wrong with me being a female in my 40s and not wanting to have kids.
Exactly.
Back
I thought it was
off.
A great, yeah, back off. And I'll tell you when I'm pregnant. You won't hear it from the New York, you know, the Inquirer. You know,
but just that assumption that she is somehow lesser of a woman or less happy
as
an individual
woman, right.
Because she hasn't had that societal milestone.
And I'll say this, I am one of my last friends to not have kids, and everyone, I wonder what people think about it. They think we're trying and we can't, or I just wonder. And you know, my Jewish mother's like, what's happening?
Yeah.
And but
it's
I
expected.
Am it, right, it's expected, but a lot of my friends in secret have said how much they wish they had just waited. So I'm happier, I think, than like a lot of my people that did what was expected in
right.
a way.
Well, I have a number of friends now, probably the core group of us, there were seven of us in high school. Five of them are getting divorced. So now they're in their late 30s with two kids and
much
divorced.
Harder.
Right. I mean, I would much rather be in L.A. playing.
You're a bigger catch.
I'm much harder.
I've got a great life over here.
Seriously, I was like, hey, you want to go to Disneyland? Brooke's like, yeah. I'm like, what if we had kids? Like, you could. It's just you can't do those types of.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
You got to be
right.
prepared somehow, you know.
Yeah.
And they say there's never a time when you're ready to have kids. Mm. You just need to have them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I believe also in setting up your career beforehand so you can actually enjoy it and not be constantly struggling
resentful
with kids.
And yeah.
You know?
And I think when you do set it up that way, you also are in a place where you're ready for that next chapter and you're not regretting it. You're not being resentful of your kids.
And you're teaching them a lesson in like, look, I waited until I was settled and happy. Do the same. You know, don't just do what society expects of you.
Right. Exactly. Well, so in the final few minutes, we have Katarina Kozaias in the studio. So what are your plans? I mean, as far as your career, do you see it in your eyes already?
Oh, absolutely.
In your head?
Absolutely.
Like,
it's like so detailed, I bet.
Oh, no,
it is. You know the gown you're going to wear.
I know everything.
Just like
I've
me.
Seen it. I've seen it 20 years out. I've seen it 10 years out. And like I said, I mean, when you get on a path with genuine intention, the universe really contrives to help you move forward. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing is so interesting. It's like I pictured the car key handle that I'm going to have on the new car that I've thought of it all for 20 years. And some people have thought of the painting studio they've had. It's like it's not the same for everyone, but it's the thing that you've been thinking about for 20 plus years. Maybe you should focus on that.
Yeah.
And you know what? Exactly. With LA 40, the premise is that you can. You can and focus. You should. It's not too late at 40 or 45 or 50 or 55.
Or ever, 99. Right. My husband's with his 101-year-old grandmother,
woo,
and she just moved from Phoenix to another place. I'm not going to say because I protect their privacy. But she moved across the country, and now she's living in a totally different place. She's a 101.
Wow.
So she can, and she tried sushi. I made her try sushi for the first time.
Wow.
And she liked it.
So it's never too late.
It is never too late.
Even for sushi.
Even for sushi.
So yeah, absolutely. I want to invite you out there. You know, if you're going to be listening to the show, please tune in with me on Thursday, because we're going to have some really cool people on the show. We're going to be taking call-ins. I want to find out what your dream is. I really mm-hmm. do, because I know you have one.
Like, someone's a puppeteer out there just waiting to hear this. And like, I'm going to make my puppet.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, Katarina, how can people find you if they want to get a hold of
yes,
you?
Yes, absolutely. So social media is best. I'm a big fan of Twitter and Instagram. And you can catch me at Katarina Kazaya. So it's just my full name. On both of those handles, at Katarina Kazayas. I also produce a segment, a weekly segment called Global Gab, where I gab with people about international top trending events and issues and headlines.
Wow.
Yeah, just trying to remind people that there's a lot more going on in the world than just Kardashians and football and the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so bringing a little bit of globalization into daily life for some people. So you can tune in with me via my website, which is globalgab.com. That's global-gab.com. Uh-huh. And, of course, Thursday mornings, 11 to 12 on LA Talk Radio.
Awesome,
yes.
Awesome. So if you guys want to contact her and get some ideas about how to stay young and mm-hmm. think young and stuff.
We're going to talk about looking young, eating well, all this. We're going to have just a ton of fun.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure you're going to have fun guests and everything, right? So what they're going to talk about, like what they accomplished
and things
like that.
Absolutely. We're going to have people in there that accomplished really cool things after 40. You know, maybe they started a record album and they had always had a very corporate legal job. I'm also going to have guests on that talk about health after 40, beauty after 40, just lifestyle tips and trends and of course, taking in calls from the audience, because I know people really want to chat about some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Connect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, and if you guys want something entertaining and interesting to watch and to listen to, yeah, it's going to be on the video channel, so you guys will get to watch it as
you
well.
You can see me.
Right. So how long have you been in L.A. now?
So I've been in L.A. for 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you like it here?
I do like it. I do like it. You know, it's such a vibrant city. There are so many different elements to it. And I think that L.A. really has a magnetism for anyone that has creativity in them, be that in music, in comedy, in movies. You can understand why people come here. You feel the energy as soon as you get here.
Right.
And it's so nice to be around that kind of creativity.
Right.
Miami was fabulous, but it was a very different mentality.
Vibe.
Here, there's a real drive. People want to produce and
get stuff out.
Yeah.
I was at a coffee shop yesterday with my writing partner writing sketches, and every single person around us was an artist writing, creating, producing, all of us trying to look like hipsters. Little annoying, but we all were trying. You could feel the vibe of like, we're just trying to produce something. All of us. It was
exactly
great.
And we attract all the beautiful people, so you'll find a lot of untalented beautiful people.
Yeah, you will. Hill,
right?
There were some of those too.
Yeah, right?
They weren't eating though. They were just.
Yeah, so some people just move here because they think if they look good, they'll make it, you know.
True.
But then you come here, you are 10 in your own little town. You come here and you are 7.
Yeah,
you know?
Honey, you're a minnow in a big pond.
There's people always more beautiful than you.
Always, and always more beautiful, always younger, always blonder, always thinner.
Always thinner.
So just be happy with who you are. Really come to a place where you can respect yourself, like Tori said.
Self-compassion, self-respect.
You have to accept yourself because that's all there is, you know? I mean, you don't have anything else.
Mm-hmm. And the rest is just the storyline, just like you were saying. Mm-hmm. It's all bullshit to say, like, who's thinner? Well, who cares about that in that storyline? I do, but I'm making something concrete that's just the breath of air. Yeah.
Right.
You're offering affirmative action to something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's
Why
all made
would
up.
You do
that's
that?
Exactly right.
Right. Well,
I'm crazy.
Yeah. So it's all about free will. We do have that. And so you guys can choose whichever path you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right.
It's as simple as that. Katarina, thank you so much for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
You're a lot
so nice
of fun.
To be here.
We wish you a lot of success with your show and
thank
everything
you.
And your career and all that.
Absolutely.
Keep us posted.
Yes.
And everybody, don't forget to tune in this Thursday, the first show. All right, Tori, thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.